Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, September 24th, 2015. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Latah County plans to buy Almond Street Plaza building. Pasco Police Chief reinstates officers who killed Antonio Zambrano Montes. Ride the Ducks vehicle crashes into bus full of college students, killing four on Seattle Bridge. Eight are in critical condition. And we'll hear about what happens to the water you flush down the drain in Moscow. All that coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Four people have died and eight were critically injured when a ride, the Ducks amphibious tour vehicle, suddenly swerved into the side of an oncoming bus filled with college students on the Aurora Bridge in Seattle today. All four of the dead were North Seattle college students. The Ride the Ducks bus was traveling northbound when it swerved into the southbound lane near the south end of the bridge. Photos of the accident show the college bus appeared to take the brunt of the crash. Most of the students on the bus were foreign students who had arrived early for the North Seattle college term, which begins next week. Lawyer Steve Bolzomi, who represented a motorcyclist who was run over and dragged by a Ride the Ducks amphibious vehicle that came up on him at a stoplight in 2011, told the Associated Press, "These are military craft that were never designed to navigate narrow city streets. This is a business model that requires the driver to be a driver, tour guide, and entertainer at the same time. It asks too much of the driver." A review by the Police Policy Studies Council of Spofford, New Hampshire, has concluded Pasco police were justified in killing a 35-year-old Mexican national orchard worker February 10th. As a result of the report and another report from an interagency investigative team made up of officers from neighboring police agencies, Pasco Police Chief Robert Metzger said he is reinstating the two officers involved in the shooting still with the department. Franklin County Prosecutor Sean Sant earlier this month announced he would not press charges against officers Ryan Flanagan, Adam Wright, and Adrian Alanese, who shot at 35-year-old Antonio Zambrano Montes 17 times on a busy Pasco street. Cell phone video, which went viral, show Zambrano Montes running away from the officers even after a first volley of shots. He turns around just as he is struck down by a second volley. The Police Policy Studies Council says Zambrano Montes had been throwing rocks at motorists and then at the officers, and he controlled much of the interaction with the officers. The report also says the killing was consistent with the Pasco Police Department's deadly force policy. The report also concluded citizen statements corroborated observations by the officers of aggressive behavior and the threat posed by Zambrano Montes. Officers acted calmly as long as they were able to, and non-lethal force was deployed with no obvious physical effect. Attorney George Trejo Jr., who represents Zambrano Montes' wife and two daughters in their lawsuit against the city of Pasco, said, "It is unfortunate the PPD has endorsed a policy that permits their officers to gun down unarmed individuals instead of subduing them with non-lethal force." Federal investigators have said they are looking into whether the Pasco police violated any federal laws, and the Washington Attorney General's office is conducting a review of Prosecutor Sant's decision not to file charges. The Mexican government has expressed disappointment in the decision not to file charges. Latah County Commissioners approved a plan to buy the Almond Street Plaza property yesterday. Commissioner Richard Walzer said the $500,000 offer, if accepted by the property owner, would give the county more office space and consolidate county offices now occupying rented space around the city. The county currently rents 6,440 square feet in the old federal building and at the Eastside Marketplace. The new space would increase the area available for the officers to 7,770 square feet and would house the Department of Licensing, Social Services, the Weed Department, Disaster Services, and Veterans Affairs. The Daily News reports Walzer said commissioners decided against using a 3% 20-year bond to purchase the building because it would cost the county around $165,500 in interest. Instead, the county plans to purchase the building with cash on hand. County Treasurer Lois Reed said the building would pay for itself in 8 years with the amount saved from renting office space. Walzer said current tenants at the Almond Street Plaza, located near the intersection of South Almond and West 3rd Street, would temporarily give the county some income. He said they will have to move out to make room for the county offices about a year after the purchase is finalized. Commissioner Dave McGraw said county officials have assured him there will be sufficient funds for the purchase, even if the prosecution of accused triple murderer John Lee results in a long and expensive trial, which the county would pay for. Commissioner Tom Lamar said he is confident that the owners of the building will agree to the county's $500,000 offer. Auditor and county clerk Henrianne Westberg said there would be little need for remodeling the building because it is already set up for offices. The Pullman School Board voted last night to move forward with another bond issue, even as construction winds down on three new wings at the high school and new classrooms at Franklin Elementary School. The board has decided on selling $1.4 million in bonds to fund four new classrooms at Jefferson Elementary School. Enrollment keeps increasing in the Pullman School District, which District Superintendent Paul Sturm called a good problem to have. Sturm said in addition to crowding at Jefferson, Lincoln Middle School is also approaching capacity as well. Sturm said, "We've added six elementary classrooms in 2014, and those classrooms are full. We have all our spaces full, especially at the elementary level. We need to add staff, but we don't know any place to add classrooms, so that's the next move." The district has contracted with Design West Architects, who designed the Franklin Elementary expansion, completed last year, to come up with a plan for the Jefferson Elementary School expansion. School Board Chair Jim Everman said, "If they turn out as well as the classrooms on the Franklin addition with six classrooms, it would be wonderful." Washington legislators have officially asked embattled state auditor Troy Kelly to resign. Yesterday, in a joint letter from both houses, lawmakers said Kelly has undermined public faith in his ability to do his job. Kelly is in charge of ensuring that state agencies properly spend taxpayer dollars. Kelly is on unpaid administrative leave as he fights federal charges that he took millions of dollars from clients of the business he ran before becoming auditor. There is a new federal indictment charging Kelly with money laundering and tax evasion. Lawmakers say even though Kelly's former business is outside his official job description, they question his ability to do his state job. The letter signed by House Speaker Frank Chop of Seattle, a Democrat, Senate Majority Leader Mark Schossler of Ritzville, a Republican, House Minority Leader Dan Christensen of Snohomish, and Senate Minority Leader Sharon Nelson of Maury Island says, quote, "It is hard to imagine that you are able to perform any services to the state while on this leave of absence, let alone fulfill the duties of such an important elected position." Christensen said the letter is, quote, "a pretty strong statement from a diverse bunch." Christensen said lawmakers are having serious discussions about initiating impeachment proceedings if Kelly does not resign. Governor Jay Inslee spokesperson David Postman said the governor supports the resignation efforts from the legislature. In an email to the Associated Press, Postman said the governor made that call early and has repeated it often. The charges against Kelly are serious and clearly involve things that happened while he was auditor. We certainly hope that hearing from a bipartisan group of lawmakers will finally prompt Kelly to do the right thing. At Monday night's Moscow City Council meeting, Tony Waters and Tyler Palmer of the Public Works Department's Water and Wastewater Division gave a report on the city's conveyance system, which is the system that sends wastewater from buildings to the sewage treatment plant. Wastewater Division Director Tyler Palmer said people don't think much about the system because it, quote, just works. When you flush your toilet or wash your dishes in Moscow, the water runs into miles of pipes, which eventually end up at the sewage treatment plant on the west side of town near the state line. Palmer said conveyance system supervisor Tony Waters, who has worked for the city for 24 years, has put together a comprehensive cleaning schedule for the system.
The intimate knowledge that he has of our system is so impressive. One of the big reasons that it runs as well as it runs is I can ask Tony about a specific line in a system with dozens and dozens and dozens of miles of line. I can ask about a specific manhole, and he can tell you about it. He can tell you the history of it. He can tell you, you know, if what rotation it's on. Hey, that's our monthlies. We've got to hit that every month. That's every 6 months. We've got to hit that every 3 years. And so Tony, using that knowledge, put this map together that you can see here, and these are drainage areas of the city. And we use, Tony will talk about some of the equipment that we use to operate this program, but the goal is to pull all of these areas down and ultimately pull them toward the treatment plant. And so as our operators go out, they track where they've been, what they've done, what areas they've completed, and then we're able to keep a good history on what we encounter in different areas of the system and assure that we maintain it effectively. And really that happens with a lot of hard work. Tony's got a pretty small department. He's got three employees and himself, and those four guys make sure that entire system operates.
That was Moscow Wastewater Division Director Tyler Palmer. Councilmember Wayne Krause asked if educating the public about fat, oil, and grease in the system will help the program. Conveyance Supervisor Tony Waters replied it would help a lot. Here's Waters, followed by more comments from Tyler Palmer.
The one where you saw us pulling those roots out of there?
Yeah.
Those had been in there a while, and we didn't discover them. That's right where a large area of restaurants and whatnot flow through, and it was like the grease was like ice over water. It developed a ceiling of grease, and the water was running underneath it. So when we finally discovered that and broke it all loose and cleaned it, they Todd at the treatment plant, they filled a dumpster with that grease that we sent them.
Wow. Wow.
So, yeah, it's a considerable problem.
So, yeah, as Tony said, you know, we've had a few things come up with the sanitary system that we've talked to the council about, and one of them is our fog program, which is really important. You know, a lot of the lines that Tony has to clean the most frequently are due to fats, oils, and greases, and so that's a program that we've talked to the council about and that we're excited to roll out. Something that was mentioned was our lining project. Some of the things we really appreciate, you guys saw the equipment in the presentation, you know, our lining project. The council's been very supportive of our efforts to keep our system maintained. And so we have good equipment, and that good equipment is what allows us to keep it on the road and to keep it and keep the lines clean, keep them inspected. This is another example. This year we did our first pipe lining project. Many of you have probably seen them out and about around town for the past, about week and a half. Yeah. This is a really interesting process where with certain pipe conditions we can go in and they'll with pressurized air, they'll inflate what comes out almost as a sock that's impregnated with an epoxy, and use steam, and then it cures in place and becomes structural. So it's as strong or stronger than the pipe that it replaces. And so the pipe, the old pipe, be it clay or old concrete, can just erode off the side of this new pipe. And it's a very cost-effective way when you think about the alternative being digging up the pipe and excavating. It's a very cost alternative, a very good cost savings when we can do that project.
That was Moscow Wastewater Division Director Tyler Palmer, preceded by Conveyance System Supervisor Tony Waters, giving a report to the Moscow City Council on Monday night. And that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service. It'll be partly cloudy tonight, low 50, and sunny tomorrow, high 75. Partly cloudy Friday night, Saturday, and Saturday night with a low of 51 Friday night, 71 for the high Saturday, 45 for the low Saturday night. Mostly clear Sunday and Sunday night, high 68, low 45, and mostly sunny on Monday, high 74. Currently, Pullman-Moscow Regional Airport, some haze, 77 degrees. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. Coming up next, we have Talk Nation Radio, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. Remember, all editions of the KRFP Evening Report are archived on the KRFP website shortly after broadcast. Jim Roach assisted with tonight's newscast. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a good night. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial.